has Jennings Chevrolet been in business for 57 years? Jennings delivers what other dealers only promise. On Waukegan Road in Glenview or at JenningsChevrolet.com. Find new roads. Jennings reputation.
Majestic Oaks Golf Course at beautiful Lake Lawn Resort is having its annual Spring Thought Tournament April 19th. The four-player scramble starts at 10 a.m. There'll be a skins game and tons of prizes. To register or for more info, call 262-725-9200 or lakelawnresort.com.
To every car owner who has ever said,
please, no more car payments,
take the drive.
The men and women at Berlin 200,000 Mile Shops introduced the drive for 200,000 miles.
It's custom tailored to deliver every useful mile that was built into your car.
Imagine getting 200,000 mile warranties on brakes, mufflers, and tires.
You heard it right. Merlin gives you 200,000 mile warranties on tires, brakes, and mufflers.
If you're not on Merlin's drive for 200,000 miles, you could find yourself on the road to more car payments before you know it.
Merlin 200,000 mile shops are here to say there are better places for your money.
Like vacations, college tuition, or home remodeling.
Merlin invites you to make a right turn.
That's the turn into the Merlin 200,000 mile shop nearest you.
Merlin. More life for you and your car.
Buy four qualifying General tires and get up to a $70 rebate. When you use your Car Care One credit card, you can get an extra $100 rebate. Don't pass up a $170 rebate on tires. Visit Merlin today.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio, this is the official radio home for White Sox baseball. Listen to every White Sox game here.
Turn on fireworks!
On Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station, WSER and HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
Coming up to 5 o'clock and from the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Matt Rodewald. Chicago Wolves playoff tickets are now on sale through Ticketmaster.com or through ChicagoWolves.com.
Third baseman, number 17, Chris Bryant.
There's his dad next to his agent, Scott Boras. For him.
Long ovation as heard on ABC7 this afternoon for Chris Bryant making his major league debut, but it was 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts, and that was why the Cubs wanted him to begin his major league career on the road. He gets a call up today after injuries forcing Theo Epstein's hand. Jorge Soler, Anthony Rizzo, both with RBI singles on the day at Wrigley Field off James Shields, but Soler left the tying runner stranded on second base, and the Cubs lose to the Padres by a final of 5-4. It was the first time that Shields faced the Cubs since nearly signing with them in the offseason. He gets the win. Will Myers, the big blow, the 3-run shot in the 7th inning to give the Padres the lead for good. Alexei Ramirez says he tagged Nick Castellanos at second base in the 9th inning. Robin Ventura decided not to challenge it. Costly. A few batters later, White Sox lose on a walk-off single by Jose Iglesias. Tigers are now 9-1 after the 2-1 win. A wonderful pitcher's duel up in Detroit today. Jeff Samardzija working 8 innings, allowing 1 run, scattering 8 hits and 7 strikeouts. A no decision, though. Avi Garcia homered in the 2nd, but that was it for the White Sox offense against David Price, who worked 8 strong innings himself. Hockey, game 2 tonight against the Predators. The Blackhawks will send out Corey Crawford between the pipes. This despite the fact that Scott Darling was excellent the other night, saving 42 shots and 68 minutes of relief. Blackhawks now have gone to overtime in 12 straight playoff series. At some point, that shares an NHL record. It's a late 8:30 puck drop in Nashville tonight. Bulls practice today on the west side. Game 1 of the Eastern Conference first-round matchup against the Milwaukee Bucks coming up tomorrow night at United Center. This scoreboard update is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai with 0% financing on 2015 Sonatas and Elantras. And tickets for the 2015 Celebrity Roast and Toast of Patrick Manley are on sale now. For more information, visit 670thescore.com/roast. Brought to you by Prairie Organic Spirits, made with respect from seed to glass, and Belvedere Events and Banquets. Book your next event with them. I'm Matt Rodewald, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. Next game on the score tomorrow, 11:30 tomorrow morning, when the White Sox take on the Tigers on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Or is it Bernstein?
I'm bored.
This seems like a good bit of fun.
Afternoons on the Score.
Who knows what could happen?
We wouldn't have done it today. You know, you script things out for a player's development, try to figure out, you know, exactly what the last steps are in his development, when the exact right time is to debut. We like to do it on the road, you know, for prominent players who are going to get a lot of attention and have enough to deal with. So we would have done it a little bit later, but you can't script everything out in baseball.
I'm really into, and that's one of my slogans, is to do simple better. To keep it simple would mean not to give him a whole lot of information regarding the other team's pitcher. Let him deal with his strengths. You just give him a couple nuggets about what the opposition may do.
Oh, man, time of my life, really. I mean, can't really put into words how good of a feeling this is to work for this year. Your whole life and finally get that chance, but I think the journey's just starting. This isn't where I want to end. You know, I want to win a lot of games for the Cubs, and, you know, I think this is a good starting point.
Third baseman, number 17, Chris Bryant.
Deep breath.
Swing and a miss for strike three. Here comes Bryant. The kick and a 1-2 pitch, and he struck him out. Awkward cut there by Chris.
Breaking Cubs news. Chris Bryant is officially a disappointment.
I don't think we're even on the air anymore anyway.
Terry Bors, Dan Bernstein.
A show by the name of Bors and Bernstein, but I've been told that he said some pretty harsh things.
The show goes on!
Bors and Bernstein, weekdays 1 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Rough day for the kid. The highlights courtesy ABC7, and we now bring in somebody else who is providing highlights newly in a new place. Our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780. Follow him on Twitter at Mark Grody Sports. Mark Grody joins us on the Grossinger Lincolnwood Hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. So, Mark, take us through your day and seeing all this firsthand, getting there early at the park and just watching what was something that I think, given a little bit of time, might kind of appear somewhat ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. No, the whole day was, I mean, there were, of course, a horde of Cubs fans waiting right by the player parking lot. Joe Maddon actually came in a cab, and his cab was being mobbed, and they were all asking about Chris Bryant, where is he going to hit in the lineup, and he was just being escorted around, you know, step to step. They had the formal interview in the dungeon press conference room, of course. You know, Theo talked first, and then it was Chris Bryant after batting practice, and everybody was watching every single step he took during the BP. So it was exactly the typical Cubs sort of circus thing. And I kind of liken it to opening day for any baseball team, where it's really not a real day. It's like whatever happens, you sort of discount, and then the next game is the real game. So whatever happened today for Chris Bryant, I sort of discounted. I said, we'll see what happens tomorrow when he cools down. So for right now, I suppose he's Kevin Ori or Gary Scott. Very good defensively, but he can't hit.
So you're guaranteeing 3 home runs tomorrow then, it sounds like, Mark Grody. Mark Grody, I just heard him say it. I don't know if you heard it, Dan. That's what it sounded like to me.
Yep, he's going to get up there and blast. It's going to be Dave Kingman. He's either going to strike out or he's going to get hit home runs to left field. But he's going to be a good guy along the way, unlike Dave Kingman.
Mark, how did he handle it post-game? Because, he really got abused by a pitcher who used the kid's aggressiveness against him. I don't think he looked out of place at all. I think he looked really anxious, like he wanted to swing really hard and hit it very far. And you have a veteran pitcher who's got great movement on his breaking stuff, and he used it against him.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, and he didn't get what he wanted, and that was fastballs. And, you know, James Shields was throwing nothing but off-speed stuff.
Cutters on his hands and changeups away. I mean, it just, how did he react to that postgame?
Oh, you know what? Actually, we did not get the postgame up here, so I did not get to hear anything that he said during the post game, but I just know that on the field, he had, you know, Ron Coomer was talking about it up here, that that no matter, you know, he had like 3 hours of sleep or whatever, but his adrenaline was going crazy. And like you said, Barry, he just wanted to get out there and swing and make contact. I mean, just as a human being, I was happy for him that he actually made contact, you know, in his fourth at bat, you know, kind of a sharp grounder to third base, you know, striking out, swinging the other three times. I mean, obviously the guy is going to strike out, but you wanted him to at least put the ball in play, and that's what he finally did.
You know what I'm looking forward to at some point? I give it probably by mid-season. You are going to have, just naturally, because I know you, you're going to have an absolute bang-on impersonation of both Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer, and you're going to have some sort of routine that I don't know if you're going to offer it publicly at that point, but I know it. I know that you've got that. I know the way your mind works, that one day you're going to find that you could actually do the broadcast yourself. Doing both those guys.
Yes, I am rubbing my hands together. I am working on such. Well, it was funny because actually, Dan, the first call I got when I got the job was from Pat Hughes. And, you know, he left me a message, and then we talked on the phone. Of course, I played the proper card. I said, look, you know, Pat, I'm looking forward to following your lead. You know, I'm the third guy in the booth. I'm just happy to be here, I kind of said. And he said, oh, no, I just want you to know that if the game is in the seventh inning and the Cubs are leading by 15 runs, I may have you come on and do some impersonations and have some fun. So he already kind of knows my place in the booth as well. So.
I would love to hear you doing Grobstein calling a Cubs game. I don't know if the audience would sign up for that, but I'm putting in my personal vote.
Sam Holbrook should have been kicked out of the game himself for that terrible call on the non-strike. Hey, if a ball gets stuck in the eye, it's a ground rule. Everybody knows it was Mike Vail back in 1982. There was a ball stuck in the vine. The same thing happened, and Larry Bittner ran out there all the way from first base. It happened. I was the original play-by-play man.
And the horse that rode in on them.
How about Grobstein talking to Joe Madden? I mean, you're going to have a Joe Madden, won't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If Les makes it out here, yeah, there probably will. I would love to see Madden's reaction to a Les Grobstein.
No, but you're going to be able to do Madden.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you know, I'm struggling with him because he's got sort of there's a very normal rhythm to his voice, so I don't that one has not come to me naturally. I think it's more about the material that Joe Madden's going to give us on a day-to-day basis.
Maybe you're trying too hard. You know, if you think too much, it can affect you.
It's one of these things that if you're around somebody enough, and it always happened to me when I was on a beat, whether covering the Bears or the Bulls, I mean, even Jordan or Wanstead, some of these guys, you just, when Lawrence could do the perfect Lovie Smith, that you just realize you can do it all of a sudden.
Right, yeah, it's because honestly, and you know that, like, I don't think I've ever once worked on an impersonation. It's like you either it comes out of you or it doesn't.
Right.
And you know, so far there is nothing as far as Madden is concerned, but hopefully that's something that will develop. You know, the game eventually will slow down for me, and I'll be able to get that down.
Now, what's the rule about a ball stuck in the ivy that's not even really ivy yet? Because we didn't have the sound on here.
Or not stuck.
I wasn't quite sure. Is the rule that if it sticks in there on its own, no matter what, if it's lodged, it's a ground rule double?
That is exactly the rule.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the ball was out there, but I mean, even Dave Martinez, who of course used to play at Wrigley Field, was the one who first said, hey, that ball is visible. They should be able to take that ball and play the ball. And it created a little bit of confusion. The umpires all discussed, and they actually ended up sending it to New York for review. And, I mean, really all anybody had to do was look in the rule book.
Right. If the ground rule is what it is, my question.
Nothing, there's nothing to review.
Yeah, what are they reviewing if you know the ground rule?
Yeah, but we're seeing things that I don't know. I don't know that I've ever seen that happen, though, where the ball gets stuck in the twigs out there is what it looks like. There's been a couple of strange sights. There was that, and then the first home run that Jorge Soler hit the other night, his two-run homer. It was just so bizarre to see a ball land out there in the barren bleachers and the baseball literally sitting there for the entire game and even in the post game, and then the other ball that went into the shrubbery. So it's still such a strange scene out here with the bleachers not completely taken care of yet.
With Bryant and what is going to be asked of him now that he's here,
and he got the debut out of the way, and he shows up and he plays. But now there's some difficulty here because everybody's going to want a piece of him. Everybody's going to want to talk to him, and businesses are going to want him in schools. And he's the it guy for the moment, regardless of how long it takes him to get comfortable. Do you know what the Cubs' plan is going to be as far as figuring out how much you just sort of let him be him and let his marketing people handle all this stuff, or actively trying to slow that down and shelter him a little bit?
Yeah, you know, the Cubs are usually pretty good about allowing the media to, hey, if you can get him, you can get him.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, and in his case, I've heard nothing different in that. You know, it's funny you bring that, because I think back to Mark Pryor, when he first got here in 2002, and he was game for everything as far as the media. I remember him saying to the media, hey, you know what, I know a lot of pitchers that don't like to talk, you know, the day that they're pitching, but I don't mind doing that. I don't mind talking to you guys. And Pryor, and it was a product of a lot of the injuries, but he got to the point where there was a bad relationship between Mark Pryor and the media, and he didn't want to talk to anybody. You know, same thing with Anthony Rizzo. I think his relationship with the media is still good, but even he is a little bit more standoffish now. I think that when these guys first come up, they love the lights, camera, action of Wrigley Field and the attention they get, and then slowly but surely they've kind of had enough. So I think that they'll let Bryant sort of feel it out. He seems like on the surface the type of guy who is going to be able to handle it just fine from the limit of the sample size that I've had with him in spring training and here today. I mean, he's a very relaxed, very calm, very smart kid, and I think, and I could be wrong, but I think he's the type of guy that can handle it all.
What was the most impressive part about what you saw of him today in terms of off the field, the way he handles himself? I was particularly struck by the fact that he could talk about his dad crying, first time he'd ever heard it, without seemingly being affected by it at all. He seems just extraordinarily mature for his age.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about that too. When he was down in the, below ground press room that you guys know all about,
the dungeon,
and it's just masses of media hoarded in there, and the poise with which he was able to handle every single question. I'm just thinking, like, I'd be totally overwhelmed by all that, and like cameras following him everywhere, and somebody even asked him a good question. Hey, you know, you must be feeling a lot of pressure. And he straight up just said, there's no pressure in